our colleagues' hard work, so it's a good turnout, and it's good to see so much interest in this idea that's been floated around. Can most of you see the area that we're talking about? Yeah. Fountain Quay, as it's been called now. So everybody, we can email this out, this map out. If you put your email address on the sheet, let us know and we can email stuff out to you. My name's Pat Bowie. I'm from Reunion Canal Boats. We operate the big purple boat at Edinburgh Quay here. We coordinate the Edinburgh Canal Festival. We do canoe building in Wester Hales, plant and orchard and community garden. We're a social enterprise. And we're really interested in this idea of getting it in at the ground level with this new development. I think Edinburgh Quay, it needs something to bring the community heart back into it. It's really concrete, no many trees or bushes or people. So it'd be nice to do something with this new phase that the community can really get involved with. We've got the Canal Centre, we're calling it just now, where B&C used to be, and we're trying to make that a sort of canal hub. So if you're ever passing, pop in, have a chat. If you've got anything you'd like to display relative to the canal, bring it in and we'll try and get a wee project going. Jane contacted Reunion with the view, because we are an organisation that works on the canal, we'd be interested in this. So we're here to lend support and see where we go with it. Now, just before we start, we've got representatives of different organisations here. It would be too much to introduce everybody, but there's people from the City Council here. Could you make yourself up the back there? This is the canal strategy that's happening at the moment. Most of you'll be aware of that. We've got a representative from the Waterways Trust, Karen, who's sitting here. If you can wave your hand, Karen, so people can maybe ask. Stan's here from the Wee Boat Build. Everybody knows Stan. What other groups are represented? If you just put your hand up and I'll ask you. Yep.
Merkison Community Council.
Merkison Community Council here at the front.
Causey Development Trust.
A development trust here. Any other groups? Yeah.
Govan Association.
And?
Toll Trust Community Council.
Oh, look at that, that's brilliant, that's great. Up at the very back. And you, yep.
Flower Colonies Residents Association.
Uh-huh. And the one
in King's Church on Beeport.
Right. Oh, yes, and yourself?
Edinburgh Old Town Development Trust.
Good. Now you can see there's a good spread of interest here. But another one?
Cross Monkey Residents Association.
Great. So we've got a wee bit of everything here. So between us, we should be able to manage something. There'll be a lot of skills in this room, a lot of community buy-in. So let's try and get something organised. This is the agenda for tonight. That's me. That's your welcome, by the way. The next one's background, and that's an idea. So that's going to be Jane and Stan. What's happened in other areas? We've got Ian Cook here from the Development Trust Association Scotland. They support development trusts in rural and urban areas and have got a lot of experience and can tell us what happens in other areas. And then we're going to have a group discussion, if we can all cluster around a table somewhere. And the question we're going to ask you to think about is, what do you think about the idea? What would you like to see? And what do you think the drawbacks are? And that gives us a wee taster of what we can look forward to or not. And then we'll have some feedback and then how we go forward. Okay. I'll pass you on to Jane now, who will give you a wee bit about the background and ideas.
Okay. Hello, thanks for coming. It's a great turnout, actually. Really pleased with that. This idea kind of came out of a bit... Do you want to...?
Yes, just like to clarify a point. The flyer illustrates the site to the far side of the Beaufort Bridge.
Yes, it does.
However, this plan that we have proposed is not of that site.
Well,
which is which?
We can explain perhaps during the meeting a little bit more about that, because we haven't got any anywhere yet. We're just thinking of where we could try and have a community buyout, and we don't know where. So if you see the bigger map, you'll see there's something called civic amenity site, which is one we think we should try and do something about. But thanks. This really is a kind of complicated thing. First of all, I just lived here for about 30 years, and I'm fed up with seeing these big faceless blocks kind of march onwards. And I hate the kind of fact you can't see people in them. They seem to have people that come and go, and you know, they come in a day and they go. And it's created a kind of quite soulless feel to it, I think, especially around that development we've got at the end of the canal. And I think it could be a really, really interesting place, because it is a good stretch of water right in the centre of Edinburgh. And also around the Toll Cross area, it's always been a very mixed area. It's always had all kinds of folk living there. And yet, when we were involved with a thing called Rethink in the City, which Sean was involved with and other people, Sam as well, A lot of people are talking about the Toll Cross area as well, and Dave and Liz came to that, talking about the fact that families, you know, perhaps with not so much income as well, are getting pushed out of this area, actually, because it's becoming slightly kind of yuppie-ish and slightly office-y, and it's changing the nature of it very severely. So we're quite interested in trying to kind of do something in the area, and we had there was another follow-on event from the one we were involved in called Rethinking the Local Economy. And at that, actually, there was a chap there who talked about the way communities can buy out land in various ways. I won't go into all the details now, but it is possible, even though we're not rich, you know, you can sometimes do this and draw in money and get other partners and do this kind of thing. And he also encouraged us to think big, you know. So don't be afraid of this. Really get hold of it. If you get the right information, this is something we could perhaps do. So that just inspired me. And so we've been charging around talking to all kinds of people about what we could do here. Stan's going to talk about possibilities he's thought of. I've always wanted to put some kind of spa baths in at the edge of the canal, so older people could come and kind of lounge in it and have tea, and then after they go home, the kind of city slicker workers could come and have their massage or something. So we could maybe make a centre that fits both people, and one could subsidise the other. There's also a couple of projects locally, family projects with kids and pregnancy centre, and also NKS, which is a Nation Women's Health Project, and both those, which are very near the canal, in 3 or 4 years we'll have to find other premises. So the idea began to, in our minds, to create a kind of hub in this place that would put the heart into this development, actually, and push back the buildings a bit, because I don't know if any of you have seen the outline plan, but the kind of march of these high-rise things comes almost to the edge of the water. I mean, there has been an agreement not to have the actual frontage that high, but they're still very high, and it's this kind of feeling of being enclosed by this kind of foreign, you know, territory. So I think the dream that I have, anyway, is that we could perhaps together do something that would make a little kind of hub in here and have a very mixed community with lots of ideas and activity going on, you know, quite lively, cafes, boat building, all kinds of things, and try and stop that march on our community, actually, because I'm fed up with it. I think we should stand our ground a wee bit here and do something. It'll take a long time. If we're doing this seriously, it'll take. We're in for the long haul here. So we're not going to say, oh, you know, it'll be wonderful next year, we might have something. If people here are interested, we're going to have a long five-year programme or something, you know, to realise this. So that's the idea of the meeting, anyway. And as I've gone around and talked to people, there's a lot of interest, actually, about this idea. So I'll just hand over to Stan about your idea of what we could do with this as well.
Okay, thank you. I'm involved in, I've been a community development worker and adult educator for 30 odd years, and this was one of my final projects. And basically what I've been doing is trying to humanise an inhuman system, and with some success, I hope. And that's what we've been doing here. First thing I want to say though, I'm going to talk about two things. I'm going to talk about what we've done, but I'm also going to talk urge you to look at www.coinstreet.org. Coin Street is an area in the South Bank of London where local people rose up on their hind legs against these kind of developments and bought themselves, in conjunction with the council, 13 acres of land. It's now one of the most creative hubs in Europe. They have co-op housing of three or four different kinds, riverside walks, gardens, neighbourhood centre, a beautiful kind of open-air market and retail place with crafts and restaurants and cafes. And if you're ever in London, go down there to the South Bank, to Coin Street, and you will be inspired. Now, that's been local people took that over. And the other thing I want to say is developers don't have any money. I'll repeat that. Developers don't have any money. Developers have ideas which they sell to the banks who give them money. They then develop something and make more money. That's how the economy works. So if you're worried we don't have any money, it's not a barrier. You just need an idea, you need to sell it to someone with money. So I was asking if someone's got a spare 13 million, just lend it to us now and we'll get on with the job. So get that sticky in mind. So Coin Street, for me, has been an absolute inspiration. They were fighting since 1977. Eventually, the council came in with them as a partner. They fought the developer so hard, the developer gave up, sold the land to the council. The council sold the land to the local people, and the local people did all this development. millions and millions worth of pounds of worth of development and a completely new community built in the South Bank. So where do we start? We start by involving people. So how did we involve people? Well, if you see the brown shed out there, we got the local developer here who was building offices to give us about £15,000 or £20,000 worth of work. They rebuilt us a boat shed. We moved into the boat shed and we started building boats. We thought, how do we get people to know there's a canal and use the canal, build boats and go on it? So we've been doing that for the past 2 or 3 years, and this is us in collaboration with the Canal Festival, with Pat. We organised the Wee Boat Parade, and that's humanising it and getting it in a family scale. Lots of families in Canadian canoes, kayaks, and led off by the Curragh, which is a throwback to Celtic history. It's a skin-covered boat. We thought that would be a nice place to start as well. Let's bring our people's history back into the area. Let them discover this place named Fountain Bridge, also known as Little Ireland, for reasons that the canal was built by Irish navvies, two of whom made a lot of money murdering people, Burke and Hare. So we established these kind of historic connections. Then you start, as you're doing that, as soon as you start to become creative, you draw people in. So this is us drawing in the school. The school used it as a Gaelic-speaking school, part of it. So there was all sorts of Gaelic associated with the building of this boat. So we drew the school into the project. We drew migrants into the project. This is Aldebaran, speaks no English, Spanish carpenter, Spanish-speaking carpenter from Argentina. He was one of the lead workers on the project. At the end of a year, the boat was built and he knew almost no English. He was good with his hands, not good with language. But anyway, so that's the sort of thing we envisage, that kind of human-scale activity taking place in some kind of way within this hub. So I'm very, very keen on housing co-ops, affordable housing, family housing, coming in here, and then restaurants, cafes, and making it. Artists' workshops, that kind of thing, and creative projects going on. And then you've got a link now right across Scotland, right round Scotland, in fact. You can take a boat from here through to Glasgow, round the north of Scotland, back into the Forth, and back home again. It's quite feasible. And I want to inspire people to say that it'd be possible to do that, and really, we don't need any more offices. We certainly don't need any more high-rise developments. This is what we need. But we need human beings to gather together, come up with a feasible idea, and sell it to people with money. And then I think the tide is turning. People are beginning to recognise that the developers actually don't have the imagination to create human spaces. We see that in the Canal Basin. They were given carte blanche to create something. And they thought, oh, restaurants, cafes, you know, a kind of mixed development. Let's do that. And they've done it so badly. It's been done so badly. The units are too big. They're too expensive. They're not adaptable. They're not flexible. There's no social housing. There's no human beings going about it. But they've been given, you know, architects and planners and professional people given carte blanche to develop that. And they've made cows and eggs yet. So I think we could make a much better job. So that's what I urge you to do. Thank you.
Could you get inspiration like that? Scott's all about people having ideas and having inspiration to take it forward. And there's a lot of you in this room with all your different groups in that. The one thing I would urge you now is that this isn't going to happen tomorrow. It's the long haul. The site's a tricky site. It's being ready, prepared for market now. You don't know who's going to buy it. You don't know how it's going to be carved up. You don't know what's going to go in there. But what we're hoping to do is be ready with some sort of plan so when something does happen, that we can hit the ground running. But I just urge you, don't go home and say, oh, and see next year we're going to have fabulous spa baths at the canal, because that's not going to happen. But in the long term, it could. But just be aware of that. I'm going to introduce Ian now, because Development Trust Scotland have lots of different projects and they're quite inspirational as well, and he'll tell us a bit about them.
Okay, thanks very much for the invite. Thanks, Pat. As Pat says, my name is Ian Cook. I work for the Development Trust Association Scotland. And really just to spend the next 10 minutes talking a bit about development trusts, one of whom has been mentioned already, Coin Street, but also about the idea of community ownership and what's going to happen around that. I can see one or two faces we've probably seen some of these slides before, so apologies for that right away. The Development Trust Association of Scotland is a member-led organisation. We've got about 175 members now in different parts of Scotland, so that's communities, urban communities, rural communities, island communities in different parts of Scotland. And it's essentially about local people being creative, taking a bit of control and getting things done, making things happen. What I'll do firstly is just say a bit about development trust. I mean, the term itself is not very helpful, it's quite confusing. I think particularly the word trust means different things to different people. Essentially, any community organisation, no matter what it's called, it can be called a trust or a company or whatever, if it conforms to four basic principles, we would recognise it as a development trust. The first thing, it should be community-led and community-managed. So it'll be working to a board of local people or a management committee of local people. And it'll be working to some kind of developed community plan or community priorities or community objectives. The second thing about development trusts is that they tend in nature to be multidimensional or multi-issue, multi-activity. So they're looking at trying to improve the quality of life for local people by tackling a range of economic, social, environmental and cultural issues. So they're not single-issue organisations, and that's quite important. They are committed to partnership working. I think in Scotland we've seen a lot of top-down, multi-agency talking shops. But I think what we're talking here is partnerships which are quite specific, with different organisations for specific purposes. And they can be private partners, public partners, or other third sector partners. And we've got lots of examples around Scotland now of informal arrangements and quite formal arrangements like limited liability companies, for instance, in some cases. The final criteria is probably the most important one. It's the idea of enterprise. And development trusts, from the outset, are committed to trying to move beyond grant dependency. So they may well use grants to start, kickstart things, to get activities going, but they're looking for ways to generate their own money, their own income through trading or other sorts of activities. And in that way, they become more independent and hopefully more sustainable. And part of that enterprising approach is the idea of community ownership of assets. And that's probably the characteristic that's most associated with development trusts. So what I've tried to describe really is a term. It's not about a legal entity. It's not a legal entity. It's more about an approach to what I would call community-led regeneration. And these four principles, I think, give people a framework within which to work. What have these four photographs got in common? The top left's the Castle Milk Stables in Glasgow. Bottom left's the Isle of Gear. Top right's the Governhill Workspaces. And the bottom right's the Braemar Castle. What they've all got in common is that they're all owned and managed and developed by local communities. And the point of that slide, I think, is that over the last 10, 12, 13 years in Scotland, what we've seen is a silent revolution taking place, largely below the media radar, with all sorts of assets, physical assets, coming into ownership throughout Scotland. Just to give you an example, I mean, land's probably the most, has had the most publicity, and people will be aware of some of the community land buys in some of the island communities in the North West Highlands. And certainly, if you've got to somewhere like the Western Isles, there's almost 60% of the land in the Western Isles now in community ownership. So it's quite significant and it's growing every day. But all sorts of buildings, shops, petrol stations, renewable energies, work units, open space, sports facilities. Whatever physical asset you can think of, I'll find you some community in Scotland that now owns and runs and develops that particular asset. And, sorry, a survey about 18 months ago where they looked at the community-owned shops in England. And what they found was that when you went back 20 years, there was 260 community shops or shops in villages and small towns that were run by their own communities. When they went back 20 years later, 250 of that 260 were still trading. Now, there's no other enterprise can match that level of sustainability. And the reason that happens, of course, is because communities, when they do take ownership of assets, They bring with them a whole range of strengths.